creates this material world. He creates systems. Everything, both in the spiritual world and also in the material world, is full, complete, and perfect, and very scientific. When the living entity is fortunate to know about this knowledge and to apply the principles given by the Lord in the Shastras and presented to his various either incarnations or acharyas, then people can be happy by living in harmony with Krishna's plan, living in harmony with nature, both superior nature as living entity, that is, on the level of bhakti, pure bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, and also on the level of the inferior nature, what we call in the Bhagavad Gita, para prakriti, for the living entity, and prakriti, material nature. So I'll explain a little bit more after we chant Jaya Radha Madhava as to how we want to apply or demonstrate this, at least some portion of the message that was there this morning in the Bhagavatam. So those of you who are here this evening and were not in the Bhagavatam class, you're getting a double benefit of hearing a little bit from the Bhagavatam and also getting something new this evening. We have someone who has a Vedanga not too far away. Very good. There you go.
Thank you. do that quickly bring the salvation and the shaman. And I'm using the
Hare
Krishna.
I'm sitting in a place where I cannot see the clock. So, what time is it? 8:25.
Yep.
So, we want to keep our presentation this evening within a reasonable amount of time. what might be helpful? Normally I have a clock with me. If I can borrow somebody's watch, I promise to give it back. So, this is not a trick. No. Thank you. This evening, our theme is in connection with, well, we were speaking about it a few minutes ago in terms of how wonderful is Krishna's creation. Krishna's creation both in the spiritual world where everything is peaceful, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, happiness, Satchitananda. That is the world of Chintamani Dham. So Krishna, Sudvadriya, Nindra and Mena, in the flesh. Very good. In the flesh, so not only Krishna, not only he is perfect in his wisdom and what he does in the spiritual world, but also in the material world. Although we tend to consider that the material world, which is also true, is dukalayam vashasvatam, jalma mritum jaravyadhi, dukadosham adavshanam. It is a very difficult place where all kinds of trials, and we are faced with all kinds of trials and tribulations. And we tend to look down upon this material world in various ways. And we are taught also in the Vedas to become detached and to cultivate our spiritual life, which is, of course, very true and very important. What we sometimes fail to possibly recognize or understand as devotees is that Krishna, Lord Krishna, has in his wisdom, in his intelligence, created this material world in a very, very scientific way, very scientific manner. And the more we, as living entities who have come in the material world, know about Krishna's systems. It's all about systems. This evening's program or class is about systems, Krishna systems. So fortunately, whenever we connect things with Krishna, even material things, material systems become attractive, you see. Not only that, we already know how this material world is very attractive. It is alluring all the conditioned souls to think that this is the all-in-all this material world. Not only is the material world attractive, but it is arranged in a very scientific way, primarily to help us, the living entities who have come in the material world, to develop our higher consciousness, means to develop our Krishna consciousness. So, in India, of course, especially in India and in Asian countries, Malaysia is part of the Asian of countries. Malaysia is part of the Greater India, Mahabharata. All the Asian countries, even going back to the far eastern countries such as Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam, Indonesia, Philippines, all these countries, as we know, were at one time very much under the direction of the Vedic culture. And one still finds in such countries many remnants of the Vedic culture. So in India, we have the leadership in India has recently established a national ministry. This was in Jagannath Puri in the month of November last year, which is connected with very large dimension. Actually, large dimension means which is connected with the whole system, perfect system, scientific system that Krishna has established for all of us in this material world. So, the name of this ministry is ISKCON Daiva Varnasrama Ministry, promoting rural development. There is an intimate connection. Prabhupada very often would explain this connection, would remind us of this connection between the spiritual and the material. There's a very intimate connection with our daily practice of bhakti, devotional service, and with how we live, what occupation we take up, what food we eat, how we relate with other human beings, how we interact with other living entities, how we interact with material nature, how we interact with Krishna's material nature, and how we ultimately, perfection of all interaction or relationships, how we interact with Krishna and how we develop, because that is the goal of life, the aim for all living entities, to come to that point or position of developing our Krishna consciousness. So in other words, here in the spiritual world, the living entities who are Nitya Bhadha, they are eternally satisfied by being engaged in full, unalloyed, pure devotional service. Here in the material world, we have a bit of a challenge. We have a big challenge, actually. We have to come in contact with this realm of pure devotional service, which is on a very, very high level, a very esoteric level, actually. Not so obvious and not so easily attainable by ordinary living entities, as Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita. So that's one level. The other level, which is a major challenge, so therefore it's like a double challenge, is we have to learn how to relate to and how to properly utilize Krishna's material energy. And we need to understand that actually Krishna's material energy, because it is His energy, that energy is described in the Bhagavad Gita as daivi. Daivi esha gunamayi. It is Krishna's divine energy, this external energy, because it is connected with Krishna. Therefore, it has that divine aspect, which as devotees we need to know and understand. So we need to become expert in these two realms, in these two levels. Devotee means one of the 26 qualities of a devotee is daksha. Daksha means expert. Expert in both spiritual, transcendental knowledge, and also expert in terms of material knowledge. Expert in terms of how to utilize this so-called inferior energy, this aparaprakriti of this material nature. So this ministry was established for the purpose of trying to bring about this secondary level of awareness. In Krishna consciousness, everything is about awareness. How to wake up. How to snap out of it. We are otherwise sleeping on the lap of material nature, isn't it? As I explained by Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur. And the longer we remain sleeping on the lap of material nature, then we are in ignorance. And because we are in ignorance, ignorance is a cause of suffering, as we know. We suffer in so many ways. So Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada, has nicely explained, is primarily an educational institution. ISKCON is largely an educational and also cultural institution to bring people to a higher level of consciousness, a higher level of awareness. So our philosophy is actually, as we know, the highest philosophy. But at the same time, our highest philosophy has to take in, you know, very what we otherwise would consider as mundane, ordinary things. But, as we know, as the philosophy explained, because the mundane is created by Krishna, and when we reconnect that mundane with Krishna, it is no longer mundane. It takes on, as Prabhupada would say, it becomes Krishnaized, becomes spiritualized. So, this presentation this evening is, I suppose, a small prelude, small introduction to a seminar which is coming up. I have to give a plug, you know. I have to take advantage of sitting here using a microphone. There's a seminar coming up on the 22nd this month. I'll be coming back actually for that seminar. And I don't have the details actually of exactly where, etc. You can find out some devotees here, you know. And Radhadamantabhu, who is, for those who may not know, something very significant happened last year. Of course, I mean, there are significant things happening every day. But in the context of what we are speaking about, the significant thing was that there was a National Council meeting last summer, which I was fortunate to attend. And at that meeting, there was a presentation made in regards to the subject matter that we are discussing. And as a result of the presentation made by Radhadamantabhu, there was a committee, a national committee established of 5 devotees here in Malaysia to promote the whole ideology of Varnasrama Dharma. And I understand that that's part of their portfolio. We have been holding a fairly regular, I believe, seminars, maybe one-day seminars on weekends, because it's usually a little more convenient at that time. So this will be organized by this committee, and we will be elaborating on some of the points that we are presenting this evening. So there are many, you see, Varnasrama Dharma is a very large topic, and obviously we cannot eat the whole thing or address the whole realm. It's very large and very deep as well. What we would like to touch upon this evening, and we have both a PowerPoint and a video, and we have a short time also, but video is short, maybe like 15 minutes. And the PowerPoint also is relatively short. And this PowerPoint and video are directly, are produced actually, have been produced by one of the departments of this ministry called the Varnasam Media Production. Now, I have here samples, hopefully by the time we have the convention or the seminar, we'll have copies of these so that anyone interested can avail of copies. Meantime, later after the presentation this evening, you can have a look. Very different. There are about 8 documentaries here which have already been produced by the ministry in relation to the whole topic of Varnasrama Dharma. So we'll be showing one of these actually this evening. This is the latest that we have produced. So it's like a premiere that you're all fortunate to attend this evening. And the title of this documentary is called Village Technologies. Now one may say Village Technologies. What does Krishna consciousness have to do with technology? You see, we often, as devotees, very often speak a lot against modern technology and how it is destructive in so many different ways. So many advantages, of course, are there. But technology is actually connected with, very intimately connected, especially with one of the four Hare Krishna. With one of the four Varnas. And all the Varnas, we should keep in mind, anyone who is part of any of the four Varnas within the system of Varnasrama Dharma should be understood or considered to be in a very elevated position. Because Prabhupada explains, human civilization, human beings, one is considered civilized when one is part of this system of Varnasrama Dharma. Of course, pure bhakti, pure devotional service is even transcending the Varnasrama Dharma, but that is even more rare, that is even more difficult to attain. So, the main message we want to share this evening is that, you see, in the same way that all of us, most of us, before we came in this lifetime to Krishna consciousness, we were having a different consciousness. Everyone agree? I think so, huh? Yeah. We wouldn't be here otherwise. If our consciousness was still materialistic consciousness, we have no business in this temple. See? So I assume that everyone who's here has had some change of consciousness. And this is, of course, very much desirable. So, in the same way that we accept as something very natural, very normal, that we take Krishna prasadam every day, that we chant the holy name every day, that we practice in many different ways devotional activities, we have come to know that this is actually the norm, this is how we should live. And we derive, depending on how nicely we apply the process, great satisfaction in being devotees and being in the association of devotees. So that is actually one level. What is important to know is that how we live materially, and that's what Varnasrama Dharma is more on that level. And initially it may seem mundane, and actually it is mundane. From one perspective, it is material. But when this goes to show or to demonstrate Krishna's wisdom and how scientific Krishna arranges things. Just before coming down, we were discussing about the making of pure coconut oil. Mataji is making pure coconut oil. We can give a plug for that one also. I just came to know today. And you know, it's very rare, probably very rare to get pure coconut oil. Actually, it's very rare to get any kind of pure oil today. Even your palm oil, Malaysians are very proud of their palm oil, isn't it? How glorious to get Malaysia's palm oil. Otherwise, Malaysia would not be what Malaysia is today. Anyway, I don't want to comment too much on that. There is something we generally don't know, don't understand. We are gradually coming to understand more and more the ill effects that are there at various levels when we don't follow Krishna's system, not only on the spiritual level but also on the material level. We'll stick to our example of the oil. As a matter of fact, the documentary is explaining a little bit more in detail, but time will not allow us to spend that much time on it. Simple example. The traditional method of making oil, of extracting oil, is very different than what we are doing today. Actually, this is one of many, many examples we can be taking that, practically speaking, our whole lifestyle, modern day lifestyle, whether it is in terms of eating, whether it is in terms of traveling, whether it is in terms of working, our occupations, whether it is in terms of how we relate to one another, has dramatically been changed in a negative way, bringing all kinds of negative or ill effects, which have a direct bearing on how we can practice spiritual life, on how we can practice devotional service. Today's production of oil, which is mainly, primarily, in most countries of the world, done through highly sophisticated, mechanized, industrial-based systems, which use tremendous amounts of heat to very quickly convert your oil into what is on the market, what we call commercial oil, is actually extremely detrimental for one's health, you see. And when we will see this, it's not only dealing with oil as such. Krishna's plan, in Krishna's system, Krishna has arranged that by nature we can extract oil. That's how our forefathers, even maybe our parents or grandparents at least, were extracting their oil. Two ways actually. The traditional way is cold pressed oil, which doesn't alter the composition of the oil, and therefore brings all the benefits that it is meant to bring to the system, to the body. Whereas today's commercial oils has changed in its nature and therefore is a cause of many diseases, very various kinds of illnesses are caused by that. So we're using this one example. There are many, actually, many, many examples which basically give us the same message, that when we deviate from the traditional method that Krishna has actually devised, then we create all kinds of difficulties for ourselves, for others, for society in general, for nature, and especially all of this combined together greatly affects our ability to practice spiritual life. Even today, most of our devotees are caught up actually in the present day modern system, which is a major deviation of how more naturally, more simply we should be living, and it is having all kinds of very negative, very devastating effects, actually, very serious effects on our lives in general. I will begin by the documentary, not documentary, I'll begin by the PowerPoint, and let me see here. That's all we need, huh? This was put together maybe last year, and the documentary you will see after this PowerPoint was put together just a few months ago, actually. So that's the documentary will be even more recent. And here we go. Village Technologies. There are a few places in India where there's an attempt to revive these traditional technologies. Both of them are actually, well, the two main places I'm aware of are in Karnataka. One is in North Karnataka, that is Gokul Dham. That is one project that is coming up. I think last time I had shown a video on Gokul Dham. They have about 400 acres of land, and they specialize in reviving these ancient or traditional technologies. And the other one is in this place here called Sayanthi Sri Krishnamuram Kshetra, which is in the district of Udupi, 30 kilometers. So we're talking about oil. This is oil gunny technology, which is what is referred to as cold press technology, where you put in the center here either seeds or dry coconut that you scrape out of the coconut, and you have the ox tower just turning around, and your oil comes out, pure oil, and you're left with what is called oil cake. Oil cake is considered as actually animals, ox and cows, if they smell this oil cake, they go crazy. And they're very attractive, and it's very healthy, very wholesome for them. So this is very simple technology which uses stone and wood base. And the animal goes counterclockwise, because the machine inside goes clockwise. And there's a method to remove the oil cake afterwards. It's something that is done without any stress to those who are performing the activity, as opposed to working in big factories or industries, which are very, very, very costly to make, very dangerous, and dangerous in terms of accidents that happen in such big industrial factories. This is another technology. It has nothing to do with oil. It has to do with what is called water lifting devices. I'm sure some of these things were present here in Malaysia, maybe not that long ago. This is called Mote. This green container is pulled by two bullocks, and when the water is brought up, as it is now, it goes through this one. Yeah, well, it is brought through the canal by an extension of the container. It is brought into a tank, a water tank, which once it is filled, the water is released and directed into the gardens. So this is very simple technology, which is based on the very important principle of utilizing only what we need. Modern day society, we have invented through electricity these what is it? You drill and you get your borewell. Yeah, borewell. Borewell, which is able to extract unlimited amounts of water, practically speaking, which enables one to have two crops or three crops of rice, for example, and which is much more than one actually needs. And therefore, we are, in this way, on a very large scale, abusing and misusing Krishna's energy, depleting our natural resources at an alarming rate, actually, over the world. And nowadays, people have to, you know, whereas before one could dig a well, surface well, within a few feet or a few meters, one would get water. Nowadays, as you know, one goes down 300, 600, or even over 1,000 feet still, not able to get water because. So we are, in other words, by our modern ways of technology, which is called hard technology, we are creating a very severe imbalance in nature, which is affecting in so many ways. Organic farming, natural farming, as opposed to the use of chemical fertilizers and chemical pesticides, is being practiced not only by our own devotees, but now there's a whole movement in India to come back to this traditional way of actually farming. It's also called holistic farming, which takes into consideration various factors. Simple technology in terms of buildings, construction, which is very important, naturally. Shelter is one of the basic needs that one has, and handmade mud blocks. These are actually activities which are part of this Varnashram College that we have in South India. Srila Prabhupada, many years ago, gave instruction that we should have in all of our centers, including the Jagannath Temple Center here in Kuala Lumpur, it's one of the centers, Varnashram College, where we can begin to introduce, maybe not everything, because it's very difficult to find a place where we'll have to walk around here to make your oil and meat. Many things can actually be gradually introduced, just like Mataji is making this coconut oil by hand, which is much more in line with our Vedic tradition. Then we had inaugurated our handmade pottery. This was last year, actually, as part of the course as well. And this gentleman who was the person installing the pottery, this was the first pot he made. And on his own, after making, as he was finishing the pot, he was telling, you know, he's not a devotee as we understand devotees to be, an ordinary person. But he, when he finished making this pot, he said, this pot will be for Tulsi. So we use it for Tulsi, and this we all know how cow dung. Now cow dung is something very rare nowadays for city people because you don't see cows, you don't have cows, and you don't have cow dung. Cow dung is extremely useful, has all kinds of values, medicinal purposes, etc. And one of them, of course, is to both within the house and outside as well. This is another kind of water lifting device. We have a pond, you know, at the bottom of our land, and from that pond, We don't show it here, but actually it's in two levels. The water is lifted by this simple mechanism. They have this in Mayapur, of course, all over the place, isn't it? they use it, as one goes to Mayapur on the last stretch of the road. If you look on the right side, especially if you're going to Mayapur, you have these similar devices that they lift the water by hand from a lower level to a higher level. It's done very, and of course, dehusking paddy, because nowadays we don't have paddy. People don't know what is paddy. People buy rice. The simple traditional system where one is can keep a large stock, paddy can be kept for a long time, years actually, if it is kept properly, stored properly, and then whenever one needs it, one dehusks. And of course, grinding grains, making flour the traditional way, and mud stoves. These are all different activities, and part of the course, one of the courses, there are various courses. This is regarding making traditional designs, which are very auspicious, that are generally made in front of the house, etc. like that. If one goes to villages, this was one of our best students, actually, who was previously a Guruku boy in Mayapur. What's his name? Pati something? Lakshmi Pati. And he was our outstanding student last year. He's still in Mayapur, right? Yeah. And he made all kinds of things with coconut leaves, which, of course, they, you know, in modern day society, we use much less. This is the tank I was talking about, where the water is actually brought through this multi system and then brought down. And of course, the traditional cow dung cakes, which we have forgotten about, we don't use nowadays, but they are extremely useful. And traditional mud stoves, provided them with ears, etc. So I'll just read this one before we go to the documentary, because time is a factor here. In this conversation with some of the disciples, Prabhupada says, modern, artificial, so-called necessities of life may seem to increase your so-called comfort. But if you forget life's real aim, your so-called advancement of technology is suicidal. And this is happening on a large scale, actually, all over the world. Anyway, this is talking about the tractor and how tractor is, by most people, seen as a very great advancement, but actually it is probably one of the most destructive elements in modern-day society. So we went to the city and got caught up in the anxious life of mortal passion. Sounds familiar? Yes, many people by mastery fall into the mortal passion, except for those who come to the Hare Krishna temple. Constant anxiety due to needless lusting and striving. The city, we are surrounded by all sorts of artificial things for agitating our mind and senses. And naturally, when we have this facility, we become lusty. We take to this passionate mode and become filled with anxiety. So anyway, Prabhupada is glorifying how the country, the more natural way of life, is actually Krishna's standard. This is the point that Krishna has established a norm. There's a norm and how we should live, there's a norm and how we should produce our food. We should actually produce our food. That's the norm. The norm is that we should produce our food. And there's a simple way that we should produce our food. I will go to the video right now, and let me see if I have this close by. actually, it will be... See, when we are living in the city, even as devotees, we don't think about these things. We don't get an opportunity, actually, to think about these things very much. And it's very important that we do. Because it is directly affecting our daily lives in so many different ways. And ultimately, what is most important, it is affecting our own Krishna consciousness. So, just need a couple of seconds here. I was told at the seminar, hopefully, maybe one of the devotees from the temple here, because I won't have time, we're leaving early tomorrow morning, if some detailed information, at least the venue and the time, can be posted on some bulletin board here in the temple, so that the devotees who would like to attend this upcoming seminar on the 22nd, can have the basic information needed. One thing I forgot. Speaker, do you have a speaker? I have an extension line. It would have been much better. Actually, it would have been. Is there an external speaker? Even a small one will do. And if you go, you have to get the line, which is in the computer bag upstairs. Ready? Unless they have a line or a connection here. The sound will come. I don't need to speak as well, but using the microphone is not at all good. It doesn't get the same kind of result, so if you can kindly do that. And you have the line that, okay, 1 second, you have the line that goes in the computer also? Okay. These guys are together. Very good. As you can see, I need an assistant to do this thing. Yes. I'll just try out our. Let me see. Our regular sound here. This is a short documentary which is speaking about different kinds of technologies, some of which we have seen in the PowerPoint that we presented. This will be live, so a little more, hopefully, easy to follow. Computers sometimes get the hiccup, you know. This is not the
primarily meant to bring us to a more natural way of living. This is meant to bring us more in contact with Krishna's natural resources.
So, modernism, misplaced understanding of development, today's village, once like example of simple lifestyle, are being lost with its village technologies. Saving village technologies will entail saving our villages.
Water drinking rice forms a very important village technology, irrigation and with irrigation we can bring out our crops and vegetables. There are different types of water lifting devices. Basically, water lifting device means there is a ground water and we need to lift it for irrigation, for cultivation. So, our ancient people, they devised very interesting water lifting devices. Many of them are that we are trying to
one can even
name of Krishna, I can understand her very simply, and
from the coconut. Coconut is grated and then dried in the sun actually for maybe 1 or 2 days. Then it is fed in the center as it was seen. So there were a few other things that were shown. Actually, we can close it here. We got 3/4, 2 seconds actually, for like Asian countries. And this is not from the CD, this is from the...
Probably not the document.
Can I use other player, Maharaj?
Yes.
Where's the file? This one, right?
This thing they need, that thing they need somebody.
We can use the latest technology. So the output is very good.
two cylinders are the pressures which push out the juice. The juice comes out because this is a shaft.
Those few people who are still using or making, preparing their food and using this traditional technology in order to save that technology because it is fast disappearing. They should find ways and means of marketing, of selling it, etc. like that. This is where understanding basic principles and concepts connected with our whole Varnasrama system, and which are also connected with basic concepts of Dharma. All of this actually is connected, although it may not be immediately obvious, with principles of Dharma. In the Vedic culture, in general, it's an established fact that there are certain things which are not meant to be, to become commodities, which are not meant to be sold. Land, traditionally, as we know, was given by the kings, given to Brahmanas in the nation, given to people in general. And now, because we have changed that system in a very dramatic way, we have all kinds of complexities, you see. Land is not meant to be sold. Food is also not meant to be sold. Food can be exchanged, but this is a very important principle that, you know, Prabhupada would explain, we should learn for the average farmer, for the average people, they should live by the following motto or principle, that one should produce basically what we need. We should produce what we need, and we should use only what we produce. If we analyze and meditate on these principles, which is how the Vedic culture primarily, largely, although there was some exchange, but there was exchange on excess that was there. And the danger when we arrange our production in such a way that it is for profit, as, you know, modern day farming, we call it, you know, agribusiness, isn't it? Agriculture has become business. Like education has also become business. As land distribution has also become business. This is anti-Vedic. This is both against the principle of Dharma. And immediately we don't, it's not so obvious to us because we're living this kind of lifestyle today. So what is needed, of course, is, I would say, the primary education of teaching individuals and teaching society in general. And of course, this is a huge task and a huge order given to us by Srila Prabhupada, which requires that those who are in leadership positions will understand these principles and arrange the economy, you see, based on these principles. Largely, the Vedic economy is a localized economy, you see, where one doesn't have to travel very far to work, where one doesn't have to travel very far to exchange, you know, whatever needs one may have. So definitely, yes, there's very, very heavy competition in how modern-day food is produced and so many attractive ways of food is prepared. But as we know, a major portion of that is not desirable. Also, the food is not healthy. It's not as tasty, as you mentioned, as well. So there's a whole re-education that is needed, which has to begin at the grassroots level, which also has to be supported at the higher, you know, leadership level within, let's say, within a village, and then going up, right up until the, the country level, in terms of a nation. Which means that actually, when we begin to analyze various aspects of the whole Varnasrama mission, then leadership becomes a very important aspect. Proper leadership, those who are materially qualified to organize society, to understand, for example, this, now we are missing out. Most leaders around the world are simply madly running after economic development based on industrialization, isn't it? Whereas traditionally, economic prosperity, this was understood by the Rajarshis of previous times, the prosperity of a nation has always been traditionally based on land production, on production of food, on agriculture, which is intimately connected, of course, with the proper use of cows and bullocks. This is actually the standard norm, which not only in terms of how we should live simplified life, but in terms of bringing wealth and prosperity, because most people, they can only relate, generally relate, you know, to people. So of course we do this, we follow this, we accept this lifestyle, and we read about it in our shastras, not for some material gain, but primarily because it is all around the most conducive in terms of how we can meet in the most simplified way our basic necessities of life, and how we can also progress as individuals and as a society spiritually. So in other words, it's a package deal. You know, we're selling, as devotees, we're trying to sell to people in general a whole way of life, a whole lifestyle, which which means that all of these different aspects are interconnected, interrelated. So, just like, you know, Prabhupada speaks, I mean, the basics of this right there, actually, in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is teaching us about this more simplified lifestyle, giving us the qualities of the proper leader in society. You know, the four varnas are spoken about, introduced in the Bhagavad Gita. So, the point I'm trying to make, or one of the important points, the many aspects to be understood, but one of the important points is that we as devotees, and probably every religious denomination, has this challenge to meet. And especially today, it is crucial, it is essential that we meet this challenge. What is that challenge? That as a spiritual organization, not only are we duty bound to teach our members about spirituality, about how to chant the holy name, how to associate amongst ourselves as devotees, how to come to the temple and participate in the aruti, and how to perform pujas, how to perform different jagyas, etc., etc. You know, the whole process, beginning from sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu sparanam, up to atmani vedanam. But we also have another responsibility, which is very important in terms of teaching people how to live the Vedic lifestyle, how to simplify our lives. Most people are not aware, I was giving this example, it's coming out in newspapers, you know, more and more. Let's go back to India, Hyderabad, the twin cities in Andhra Pradesh. Hyderabad is the second, right after Bangalore, in terms of the most advanced, in terms of introducing and using modern technology, software technology. They have built up a whole city. They call it the high-tech city of Hyderabad. And they're finding out, you know, they have all kinds of mostly young people hired at a very high salary, which is, practically speaking, equivalent to what people in the Western countries are earning. People nowadays in India, it's not, you know, it's very different than how it was even 10 years ago. You have people in India working in these places like Bangalore, Hyderabad, earning 1 to 2 lakhs of rupees every month. In US dollars, that is between 2,000 and 4,000 US dollars. You calculate that and convert that in your Malaysian ringgit here. That's a high standard. Now, the reports that are starting to come out is that people, young men, young women, in their early 30s, due to the stressful nature of this whole arrangement, due to the stressful nature and artificial system that has been brought up, they are getting strokes, they're committing suicide, they're getting heart attacks at an age where normally these things don't happen. I mean, you know, strokes and heart attacks are much later in life. We have built up, and we continue to build up, a society which is very, very artificial and a major deviation of how we should be utilizing this body, how we should be utilizing material nature, how we should be interacting, interrelating with one another, as we were trying to explain a little earlier. We need to understand, we need to see as devotees, how detrimental this is to society, and how this does not fit in Krishna's plan, and how it is intimately connected also with the principles of karma. So, in other words, we have this dual responsibility as devotees, and anyone who is a God-conscious practicing person. And actually, some article had come out maybe a few months back, whereby we are seeing that different denominations are becoming concerned, for example, about ecological problems in society. These things are happening and are causing immense disturbances because people are misusing Krishna's energy. So in other words, not only should we as devotees be concerned with the spiritual dimension of life, but we also have a responsibility. And it is only when we become a little more familiar with the dynamics of what we call, you know, the social element, what traditionally rajashis or kings were concerned about. The foremost occupation, or the foremost, we could say, meditation that kings would be concentrated on, so to speak, is that they would make sure that people have sufficient land, that people are properly engaged. This lifestyle is facilitating, you know, proper exchange, the living culture. There's no unemployment. You see, when you have your own land, and when there's proper leadership, and when there's proper spiritual guidance as well, then people are engaged and are satisfied to be engaged. You read that every day, the pages of the Bible, how wonderful it is when we have this kind of setup, this kind of society, this kind of leadership. So Varnashram is opening that whole dimension, which we tend to forget as devotees, that how we live, how we work. One article came out, I'll finish on this point here. One article came out not long ago. It was the dangers of non-traditional occupations. The majority of our devotees sitting here this evening are actually engaged in non-traditional occupations. And this is not healthy. It is not healthy. It is not helping us to advance the principles of karma. It is actually not based on the principles of karma. Now, of course, you know, we are stuck with this in many ways. We are forced to live this way. To some extent, this is true, but Srila Prabhupada expected. Why did Prabhupada mention on many occasions, you know, that one of the important objectives of our ISKCON society is to bring about a complete overhaul in society, number one. And secondly, to revert to the traditional, more natural way of living. Prabhupada made such kind of statements, which are heavy statements actually, and which have a lot of implications. And we, as disciples, grand disciples, followers of Srila Prabhupada, have a duty and responsibility to understand what that means. So this point is, yeah, that is okay, but on a larger, in a larger context, we need to educate on a large scale that actually most people, they do this with the understanding that what they produce is primarily for their own, you know, meeting their own necessities. Of course, in many culture, not only do we provide food for the family, but we know that we should be inviting guests and sadhus, this is our home. So we produce more than we can distribute, you know, householders especially, Bhagavatam, that is what we explain, it's one of the important duties and responsibilities of householders is to distribute prasadam to the general public, to distribute prasadam to sadhus and saintly person, to also distribute or offer prasadam to our forefathers, and also to take ourselves home make Krishna prasadam. These are four of five main activities. The fifth one is that everyday householders should worship the Lord, should have a temple in their homes and worship the Lord. And in this way, householders, most householders are meant to be intimately connected with these activities, connected with food, food distribution, food production, etc., which we have forgotten. Many of our Matajis, I don't want to single out Matajis particularly, but you know, the way we're doing things in modern society, many women forget or never learn how to cook, you know, because it's considered like an old-fashioned kind of thing, and they don't have time to cook anyway because they're busy going and getting the, you know, university degrees, etc., etc. So this is, one small example. We don't want to get into too many examples right now, but of the ill effects that are there, you know, of what happens when we deviate from the more traditional. I'll stop here before some of you start going out. It's already time. Thank you very much. If anyone has any questions, would like to know more about these things, we'll be happy to speak with you for a few minutes, possibly after this presentation. And also a reminder, on the 22nd, we'll be having a seminar, and we hope to have more literature available for those who are interested.
Hare Krishna. So we'd like to thank Maharaj for this wonderful class. Three Haribos.
Haribo! Haribo! Haribo!
So Maharaj will be leaving tomorrow. So we invite devotees to begin. Dakshana to Maharaj.